Welcome to the VK7 Amateur Radio News for the 24th of November 2019. This broadcast is brought to you by VK7 Whiskey India and read today by Justin, VK7 Tango Whiskey. This broadcast utilises repeaters around VK7 and the following HF rebroadcast stations. On 3.670 MHz by yours truly, 7140 MHz by Ross, VK7 ALH, 14130 MHz by Peter, VK7 TPE, and on 28525 MHz by Gary, VK7 JGD. On DMR Talk Group Channel 5 and D-Star Reflector 091 by Clayton, VK7 ZCR. This broadcast is repeated on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7RAA in the north and VK7RTC in the south. And we start with contest news. The VHF-UHF Microwave Spring Field Day. The Spring VHF-UHF Field Day finishes at 11:59 local this morning. There will be quite a number of fellow VK7s out and about in a few locations, and they would love to make a contact with you. But you don't have to go portable to participate. Logging is easy, as many of the logging programs will be aware of this contest and do all the points calculations. There will be activity from 6 metres all the way up to 3 centimetres. The suggested frequencies are 6 metres, 50.150 USB or 52.525 FM, 2 metres, 144.150 USB or 146.500 FM, 70 centimetres, 432.150 USB or 439 flat, FM, 23 centimetres, 1296.15 USB or FM, 13 centimetres, 2403.15 USB, 9 centimetres, 3398.15 USB, and on 3 centimetres, it's 10368.15 MHz USB. Hope to hear you on the band, 73 from Richard, VK7ZBX, and Hayden, VK7HH. And WIA Conference Weekend 2020 Billeting and Keynotes. The organising committee of the WIA Conference Weekend 2020 is looking for expressions of interest from Southern amateurs and families who would be prepared to billet people during the weekend of the 8th to the 10th of May 2020. This is a great way to show Tasmanian hospitality for conference attendees and help reduce their cost of their visit. It's also a great way to meet people who you would only talk to on the radio. If you would like to express some interest in billeting one or more people, then please email WIA2020conference, or one word, at gmail.com. The WIA Annual Conference 2020 is being held in Hobart at the Best Western Hotel, and the theme is Antarctic Gateway. The weekend features many visits and tours of Antarctic-related locations and museums, and the presentations on the Saturday afternoon are coming together with a great focus on Antarctica and radio and can be viewed on the WIA website. The Saturday night conference dinner usually features a keynote speaker, and we are interested if you have any if you have recently heard a speaker at an event or presentation who has talked about something related to Antarctica or radio or both, and you thought that they were entertaining and interesting for conference attendees, please email through your ideas to wia2020conference@gmail.com. And that's 73 from Justin, VK7TW, on behalf of the organising committee. And ham events in Tasmania for 2020. The year 2020 is going to be huge for our VK7 community, with three big events on the calendar: Meet the Voice in March, the WIA conference hosted in Hobart in May, and Hamfest in November. Meet the Voice will be held over the third weekend in March, with Sunday being the main event, held at the Ross Recreation Centre as per last year. Attendees are advised that we no longer have permission to camp at the recreation grounds, so please make alternative arrangements. The only scheduled activities will occur on Sunday, with attendees given the freedom to catch up with friends old and new casually in a couple of days prior, as is usually the case. Sunday will include the annual announcement of the Sewing Circle Award, and submissions are requested for presentations or workshops to be delivered on the day. Feedback from the 2019 event has been taken on board, and the barbecue will be arranged for the day. Any inquiries regarding Meet the Voice can be directed to Danny at VK7FREQ hamfest@gmail.com. Information regarding the WIA conference and Hamfest will be delivered in the near future. 73 from Danny Street, VK7FREQ. And QSL News, report from Herman, VK7HW, the manager of the WIA VK7 Inwards QSL Bureau. Herman advises that he will deliver cards to clubs and or QTHs on an opportunity basis. Feedback from clubs as to which cards they can receive on behalf of members would be appreciated. Also, unless requested otherwise by those who have mail-out arrangements, if there are only one or two cards for a station, Herman intends to hold those cards until there are enough to make the mail-out more cost-effective. If anyone can confirm silent key calls, or if you have a new call sign, please email Herman and so he can update his records. If you have any questions about QSL cards being held, Herman can be contacted by email at vk7bureau@wia.org.au. And that's 73 from Herman, VK7 Hotel Whiskey. And news from the Northwest, the NWTR and TVG notice of meeting. And hello members, I would like to remind you of the next meeting of our club to be held at the Ulverston Scout Hall at 2 p.m. on Saturday, December the 7th. This is the last for the year and the last of the decade. Oh, where has that time gone? I hope some of you can come, and as usual, your plate of afternoon tea is welcome, and I will supply tea and coffee. The room will be open until 6 p.m. if needed for conversation, socialising and afternoon tea, so be prepared to stay for a chat and a second cuppa, and members and visitors alike. Please note that visitors are always welcome to come to our meetings, and see you there, says Cheryl, VK7 Hotel Sierra Charlie. And news from the north, the SOTA and WWFF Parks and Reserves Group. Meeting times are from 10:30 a.m. on Monday and Friday at the Glebe Gardens Cafe, 166 Henry Street, Launceston. For more details, contact Al on mobile 0417 354 410. And that's 73s from Al, VK7 Alpha Nancy. And we move to Northern Tasmanian Amateur Radio Club Incorporated. And another week down, and we will now also are 1 week closer to Christmas. So you all know what that means. We commence this week with the news that if you are hoping this year's Christmas stocking might contain the makings for a little 40-metre QRP rig that has been the focus of intense internet and homebrew activity for the past 5 to 6 years, the BitX 40, then you are probably heading for disappointment on Christmas Day, unless Santa has had the foresight to get one for you some time back. The designer of the rig, Ashar Farn, VU3ESE, has recently announced that the BitX 40 has now been retired, to allow him and the women's collective that assembles the boards to concentrate fully on further improving its big brother, the HF multiband MicroBitX. So, the Arduino network analyzer and some future developments that are in the pipeline. Love it or hate it, the BitX spurred renewed interest in QRP radio and home brewing, like probably few other offerings in the recent years, taking any difficulty out of the assembly of working circuit boards by leaving the builder with the not inconsiderable task of housing it in a suitable enclosure, hooking up suitable peripherals, and providing it with the means to get on air. In that process, many encountered some difficulties in getting the little rig operational, having to tackle issues such as suitable power supply, RF feedback, microphonics, sound antenna coupling practice, and the like. It certainly proved a unique learning opportunity for those that persevered, and I guess for many who found it too demanding and abandoned the project. It also spawned a huge international cooperative online effort to design improvements and to mentor those who have been having problems in getting their particular BitX 40 to work. The good news is that the international cooperation is continuing, meaning that online assistance is not only still available for those who have been late to commence their BitX 40 project, or indeed the early designs of the VU3 ESE, but it also there for those tackling the more capable MicroBitX. The membership of that online group, BidX20 at groups.io, today stands at a total of 7,594, with members coming on virtually from every country on Earth. That represents a tremendous resource in anybody's terms. Such numbers and the resulting global spread of members and know-how usually means that a question or problem posted to the group in the evening has probably several tips or suggestions there waiting for the originator the following morning. In early days of both the BidX40 and the MicroBidX projects, the sheer volume of group traffic was itself quite daunting, but in more recent times that has slowed to a more manageable volume as the designs have matured. So we say goodbye to the little BidX40, but we felt we couldn't let its passing go without acknowledging both its and VU3 ESE's major contribution to amateur radio in general and QRP and homebrewing in particular. And to keep us legal, you are listening to VK7 Whiskey India, and this is the VK7 Amateur Radio News Broadcast. And continuing with the NTARC news, this is probably a perfect segue to our regular report from President Idris, VK7ZIR, on the technical session held last Wednesday evening, the 20th of November. As the technical sessions owe at least some of the stimulus for their beginning from the few members' experimentation with the BidX40. Tech sessions held last Wednesday turned out to be a test equipment session, says Idris. Peter, VK7KPC, showed us a new version of the Nano VNA he has just acquired. This new model comes with a nice case and is very compact. Peter also had a resistance decade box from several decades ago. Hi, hi. Ross, VK7ALH, never one to disappoint, staggered in under the weight of a Tektronix Type 564B storage oscilloscope with auto-erase, chassis with Type 2B67 time base and a Type 3A6 dual-trace amplifier plugins. This particular instrument had spent its life at one of the larger industrial complexes in the Tamar Valley and was in excellent condition with some corrosion of metal transistors, probably due to the atmosphere that at the plant. It is a hybrid instrument with thermionic valves in the modules and solid-state electronics in the chassis. All integrated circuits and transistors are socketed for ease of maintenance. Idris, VK7ZIR, brought in a Philips Wobulator, instantly recognisable to Bernie, VK7BR, Ebenezer, VK7AT, and Peter, VK7PD, all with television servicing backgrounds. Andrew, VK7DW, displayed a model of the AMSAT Fox 1 satellite. It came as a flat-pack cardboard model with one-to-one scaling, and you could hold it all in one hand. Very detailed and colourful. Apparently, Andrew had lots of help from 6-year-old Harmonic Martin in its construction. We then paused to watch a screen of the latest TX Factor episode. Peter, VK7PD, then demonstrated a homebrew signal generator capable of spot frequencies in the microwave spectrum. Built into a die-cast box with the main elements a DDS module from ZL2BKC called the ZLPLL, and inbuilt OCXO and VCXO if disciplined from an external oscillator. This unit was kindly lent to us by Richard, VK7ZBX, who has made a fine job of its construction. The cover was carefully removed and the internal layout admired. Yet another birthday had fallen on the tech session night. This time it was Andre, VK7ZAB, who was given the treatment with a 3 sausage roll and 3 candles and, of course, the accompanying choral cacophony. A very full, enjoyable evening. See you next week. 73s from Idris, VK7ZIR. Thanks, Idris. Sounds like another great night enjoyed by all attendees. Membership notice. As mentioned earlier in 2020, membership fees were set at the November meeting, and if you have forgotten, your membership for 2019 expires on the 31st of December, and fees for 2020 are a full voting member of $35, family member an additional $5 per person for the year, and a renewal notice and covering letter will be sent out in coming days to the email address held on file. If you have changed your address in the past 12 months, probably a good idea to let the treasurer know. Coming events. The technical session, the next session, will be Wednesday the 27th of November and will commence at the usual time of 7:30 p.m. running and through until 10:30 p.m. at the Club Rooms, Archer Street, Rochelle. Pop in and catch up with fellow amateurs, bring along something that you are currently building or just questions, and you might be able to answer some of the other attendees. This is what the evenings are all about. Anything of a technical or near technical nature, however defined, is fair game. Endless tea and coffee, along with biscuits, are available for a small coin donation. End of year Christmas breakup function. This year we will be having our Christmas event on Wednesday, the 11th of December, and this will be our normal meeting night, but as usual for the time of the year, we forego a meeting and party instead. This year we'll be partying away, so to speak, as the venue has been booked. It will be at the Commercial Hotel George Street, Launceston. Meet at 6:30 for 7 p.m, but for those workers, you can always arrive earlier and get comfortable before the happy crowd arrives. This is the venue at which we held our mid-year dinner, and so those attended really enjoyed it. Please note this in your diary. A list of attendees has already commenced, and that register can be found next to the club sign-in book. So if you have decided you will be attending, please note your name and or names on the list. Coffee mornings. A reminder that our twice-weekly coffee sessions are normally held every Monday and Friday, commencing at 10 a.m. and running through until noon or longer if members wish to linger longer. Please remember that aside from the good company, freely offered philosophical views, maybe less than expert political analysis, tall tales, and genuinely good fare on offer, these coffee events are normally a good opportunity to collect your QSL cards, and currently we have no cards awaiting collection. As I remind all every week, please demonstrate your appreciation of all the effort that goes into operating the club and its facilities and other services we provide by joining us at these sessions, enjoying the company, coffee and cake, and leaving a gold coin or two or even a small banknote in the jar to assist in our ongoing operations. I don't know of any other venue in Launceston or further afield for that matter where you can get endless tea or coffee and eats for a donation of this minuscule amount. Finally, a reminder to all those members, if you have any items of news that you would like added to the weekly roundup, then please email them to the following address, ntark.emails@gmail.com. However, it would be appreciated if any news could be sent no later than 1700 hours on Friday prior to the broadcast to allow for its timely insertion into the NTARC segment. This gives all a chance to get the NTARC segment together and off to Hobart in time for collation into the VK7 broadcast, including fanatically arranging other connections when our NBN fails, which is quite often. Your continued cooperation in this regard will be greatly appreciated and do much to lower my blood pressure. And as always, I look forward to seeing you at Rochelle. And that's 73s from Yvonne, VK7 FYMX, the Secretary of NTARC Inc. And news from the South, the Radio and Electronics Association of Southern Tasmania. Reist training news. And congratulations to Robert Deek, Simon Dwyer and Magai Mawen, who recently all passed their foundation license training and assessment. We look forward to hearing some new foundation calls on the air soon, and that's 73s from Reg, VK7KK, and yours truly. And sound artists on the air. Reist Sound Artists in Residence, Sisters Acousmatica, are excited to let everyone know that they have been successful in receiving a narrowband FM broadcast license and will be on the air on 97.1 MHz FM from the Moona Community Centre each Thursday to Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. until December the 14th. Philippa and Julia are very keen to hear from anyone who may be interested in being interviewed on air, and this can be on any subject. If you think you would be able to be interviewed, email them at the highly appropriate email address of radioqueens, all one word, at sistersacousmatica.org. For more information can be found in the text edition of this broadcast, and that comes from Ben, VK7BEN. And DATV Experimenters Nights. We had a quiet night last Wednesday with Warren, VK7 Whiskey November, in training as the DATV studio anchor, and Warren did a great job. Thanks, Warren. This Wednesday from 7:30 p.m. we get underway with a review of the Spring VHF UHF Field Day happenings over this weekend, and there'll be a few other projects presented on the night, and we'll find out about some of those projects that are progressing. We go out on RF on 445.5 MHz DVB-T 7 MHz standard definition. So if you have a TV, set-top box or USB DTV dongle, that can tune to 445.5 and you can do the scan for the DVB-T signal and you can see the Queen's Domain, then you have a good chance of receiving the DATV Experimenter's Night Signal. Look out for VK7OTC. We also stream the nights on the Reist YouTube channel and Facebook. See you there. 73s from yours truly, Justin, VK7 Tango Whiskey. And SSTV, in a collaboration between VK7MAG and VK7OO, a new SSTV cam has been established on Hobart's eastern shore, operating in the 10 metre band on 28.680 MHz. VK7MAG is providing the antenna and receiving equipment, while VK7OO is hosting the SSTV cam alongside his existing 20 metre SSTV cam that monitors 14 to 30 MHz. This new SSTV cam on 28.680 will operate 24 hours a day and is on the website that can be found on the email edition of this broadcast. And that's 73s from Steve, VK7, Oscar, Oscar. And you are listening to VK7 Whiskey India, and this is the VK7 Amateur Radio News Broadcast. And technical article, the typical public exposure to radio waves against the Australian standard. The Australian Radiation Protection and Nuclear Safety Agency, or ARPANSA, has returned serve to the myriad submissions made to the House of Representatives Standing Committee on Communications Inquiry into 5G in Australia that states 5G is a health threat to humans and fauna. Quote, higher frequencies do not mean higher exposure levels, unquote, ARPANSA bluntly stated in its submission. And there's a few other quotes. Current research indicates that there is no established evidence for health effects from radio waves used in mobile telecommunications. This includes the up-and-coming rollout of the 5G network. ARPANSA's assessment is that 5G is safe. The agency stated that while the frequencies used in 4G and 5G mean some energy is absorbed into the body, it is too low to create any significant heating of tissue, and the higher millimeter wave frequencies set to be used for 5G in the future do not penetrate past the skin. The power level will be low and no appreciable heating will be occurring in the skin, the agency said. If exposed to energy levels 50 times higher than the Australian standard, heating of tissue can occur, such as welding or exposed to AM radio towers, but that is why safety precautions are taken, ARPANSA said. The submission also reiterated the scientific fact that radio waves are non-ionizing and cannot break down chemical bonds that can lead to DNA damage. There is no established evidence that low-level exposure to radio waves causes cancer, the submission said. ARPANSA acknowledged that in 2011, the International Agency for Research on Cancer placed mobile telecommunication frequencies on its list of possible carcinogens to humans, but also put it in perspective. Quote, the classification is not intended to cause alarm, but to encourage further research in this area, unquote, it said. Other things the IARC classified to this level included pickled vegetables and aloe vera. ARPANSA struck out at bogus science circulated online as not having balance, cherry-picking data, and not taking a weight-of-evidence approach. No single scientific study considered in isolation will provide a meaningful answer to the question of whether or not radio waves can cause or contribute to adverse health effects in people, animals, or the environment, the submission said. On the impact to bees, an issue often cited by 5G critics, the agency said there was limited research of impact from electromagnetic fields on the diversity or abundance of insects or bees. Quote, "The few ecological studies that do exist generally report little or no evidence of a significant environmental impact," it said. The studies that do show an effect, such as the ones listed, suffer from poor scientific method, and the reported effects of the electromagnetic field exposure cannot be separated from other environmental factors. Arpanza further said that any biological effects on humans are physiological responses that can occur for a broad range of reasons and are not classified as health effects which require medical treatment. While Arpanza and the World Health Organization recognize that the symptoms of EHS, or electromagnetic hypersensitivity, are real and can be a disabling effect for the affected individual, EHS has no clear diagnostic criteria, and the science so far has not provided evidence that RF exposure is the cause, it said. The majority of scientific studies published to date have found that under controlled laboratory conditions, EHS individuals cannot detect the presence of RF sources any more accurately than non-EHS individuals. Several studies have indicated a nocebo effect, i.e., the adverse effect due to the belief that something is harmful, unquote. Arpanza said it would continue to assess the impact of exposure from radio waves on people and the environment. Backing up the view of Arpanza on its submission, Vodafone Australia noted in its submission the level of Australian frequency standards. It is important to recognise that Australia has some of the most comprehensive and stringent radio frequency safety and electromagnetic energy EME compliance requirements in the developed world, it said. The Office of the Telecommunication Industry Ombudsman said in its submissions that it had received 45 complaints about EME in fiscal year 2019 and received 32 complaints this financial year. Last month, Telstra Chair John Mullen likened 5G health truthers to anti-vaccination and flat earth movement. There is absolutely not one shred of evidence that 5G, for that matter, 4G has any harmful effects on humans, Mullen said during the Telstra annual general meeting. And I realise for those that believe, like anti-vaccination or even the Flat Earth Society, it is very hard to change people's opinion. During July, Telstra conducted a test that found the electromagnetic energy levels used in 5G is similar to 3G, 4G and Wi-Fi. In the testing we completed inside apartments and cafes near our 5G Innovation Centre at Southport on the Gold Coast, we measured 5G EME levels consistently under 0.02 of the Arpanza standard limit. That is more than 5,000 times below the safety limit put in place by the Australian government body responsible for EME, Telstra Principal EME Strategy, Governance and Risk Management, Mike Wood said at the time. In fact, in our apartment testing, we had a room full of network engineers maxing out their devices simultaneously while still delivering those EME results of more than 1,000 times below the safety limit. It is also important to note that safety standards for EME cover 5G, including children, are conservative and will include other higher millimeter wave frequencies to be used in the future. And that was sourced from the ZDNet. And a reminder to those people rostered for next week's broadcast, the newsreader VK7ZIR, repeaters Reece Dentark and NWTR and TVG, 80 metres and 40 metres, our volunteers are required, 20 metres VK7ALH, 10 metres VK7TPE, DMR Talk Group 5 and D-Star Reflector 91, VK7ZCR. This broadcast is repeated on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7RAA in the north and VK7RTC in the south. Thanks to all people and organisations that assisted with this broadcast. That concludes our VK7 Amateur Radio News broadcast for this week. You have been listening to or have just missed VK7 Whiskey India. Next week, the national WIA news can be heard at 0900, followed by the VK7 Amateur Radio News at 0930 hours. Items for the broadcast can be emailed to vk7arnews, all one word, at gmail.com. Further information about the broadcast can be found at the VK7 Amateur Radio News Groups.io group, and the deadline for items is 2100 on Friday prior to the Sunday of the broadcast. VK7 Whiskey India is now closing, but will reopen shortly for callbacks and relay reports. Callbacks will be taken on the frequency to which you are listening. Relay stations will use their own call signs during the callback. From the VK7 Amateur Radio News, it is 73 from Justin, VK7, Tangled Whiskers.